Thank the Lord for this day. We have a song that says, "Oh, what a blessed hope is this, an anchor to the soul. And if we do our Savior's will, we'll safely reach the goal. I'm thankful for the hope of the righteous." I think that there are a lot of people in the world today that have lost hope. Some people become so hopeless that they end up committing suicide. But I'm thankful we can have a hope. I remember in Honduras when Lenita was sick with malaria, that first time she became so sick. And I remember driving back from town one day on that curvy mountainous road, feeling despair. Didn't have much hope. And I remember the thought came to my mind, there will be a brighter day. It's like a little ray of hope came through when the sky was so overcast emotionally. And I clung to that hope, there will be a brighter day. And I thank the Lord there was. And the Lord gave us many brighter days after that time. Aren't you glad that we do have a hope? Oh, what a blessed hope is this, an anchor to the soul. And if we do our Savior's will, we'll safely reach the goal. Let's read in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both steadfast and both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil." A ship does not need its anchor when the seas are calm, when it's out at sea. But there come storms. Consider the purpose of an anchor. It's to keep that ship from being driven inland, where it will land ashore, make shipwreck. Storms are going to come our way in life. And maybe things are going well and people feel like, really, I don't need that anchor. I don't need the Lord. But I'm telling you, there will come a time that we're going to need an anchor. And I am so thankful that we can have an anchor that is both steadfast and sure, that will keep us from making shipwreck in life of the storms that come everyone's way. I'm so thankful. Like Jesus said of the house that was built on the rock, the winds came and the rains and the flood, and that house was able to stand. I'm glad that we have a hope in something that is sure. In Psalms chapter 30, Psalms 30 and verse 2, "O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Isn't it a beautiful thought that there is hope? That even though we may experience weeping and night may be in our lives, that joy comes in the morning. In Luke chapter 24, it will be morning. There will come a brighter day. Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him, and he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things that which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We had our hope that this would have been the one that would restore the kingdom to Israel. We hoped that he would be our leader, that he would deliver us from the Romans. He seemed like such a wonderful teacher. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed the thousands. We had our hope in him. But then they had the mock trial. They condemned him to death and they crucified him like a criminal. And beside all this, today is the third day since all these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. When they found not his body, they came, saying they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher, and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw not. Then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Isn't it so easy for us to lose hope in life?
Yes.
When we have a hope that is solid and sure, built on the word of God, which cannot be moved. And yet it's so easy for us to become discouraged. I've thought about myself. Things can be going so well. Things working out so well. But yet I run into some small discouragement. And oh, how easy it is for the clouds to come over the sky emotionally. How easy it is to lose hope. And all I have to do is look at the facts and realize things are so good. Things are working out. Things are going to be well. I have hope. Joy is going to come in the morning. Fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward the evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour. Now, notice it was night. It was time to turn in for the night, but it says they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They forgot the mission they were on, it seems. they had experienced something that gave them such hope, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." I am thankful for this hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. First Thessalonians 4 and 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. There is something about the grave that looks so dark and so hopeless. But I'm glad for this hope that we have, that we can rise again, that the Lord will bring back with him our loved ones that have gone on before, that are saved. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Do you value that hope today?
Yes.
That the dead in Christ will rise again. Death seems so permanent. It seems so cruel. And sometimes it seems so senseless. That person was so young. They had a family. Oh, we can reason about it. But this morning, let's have hope. Life is short for all of us. But we can, if we live for the Lord, we can rise again. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When we hear all the bad news in the world, when we see things going in a way that is discouraging to us, and perhaps we lose hope for our nation, let us comfort one another. There is hope. Our King is coming. We may not receive a lot of support from the kings of this world. Perhaps the days of persecution will return, but let us have hope because our King is coming and we'll be able to live with him forever. People place their hope in many things. Some people have their hope in their bank account, maybe in their insurance policy or their stock portfolio. People are putting their hope in ball teams, wanting their team to win. Just their life is so wrapped around one team. And oh, how easy. Their hope is gone. Their day is ruined. They come back to work and just so depressed and upset. And it's like they're barely making it. I'm glad our hope can be on something that is sure and steadfast. Some people's hope is in political parties, and oh, they get so wrapped up, and they sacrifice, and they donate, and they campaign, and that's where their hope is. And then maybe the person they support gets in office and then disappoints them. We need to have our hope in something that is greater than that. People get their hope built around personalities. Someone who is charismatic, somebody that just seems so right, somebody that we can follow. And then there come times that personalities disappoint us. People fail. People are human. I want to encourage you today, have your hope in something greater than that. People place their hope in the fact that they're young. I still have time. I'll have opportunity someday to change my life. And my hope is I do want to go to heaven. I don't know how many people I've spoken to about changing their lives, giving their hearts to the Lord. And the response is, I hope to do that someday. I do want to go to heaven. Oh, let's put our hope in something solid and sure. People are placing their hope in purgatory. That in spite of my sins, if I just go there and suffer for a while, eventually I will have been punished enough. And perhaps my family can pay the church some money and pray me out of purgatory. Listen, we need our hope in something a lot better than a false doctrine. People are placing their hope in reincarnation, hoping that somehow they'll come back in another life form and they'll have another opportunity. And if they do well in life, if they are virtuous, that they can come back in higher life forms than what they were in before. Atheists are placing their hope in there being nothing after the grave. Oh, what a false hope. What a disappointment these folks will have. I thought about atheist congregations. You know, they've started having their own churches, atheist church. I've wondered, what do they get together and discuss? Folks, there's no hope beyond the grave. That doesn't sound very encouraging to me. I think I'd rather hear, we have a hope that is steadfast and sure. We have an anchor that will anchor us all the way through this life and as we leave this life.
That's right.
Something that is solid and sure. And we have hope of heaven. A place that we cannot describe for its glory, for the joy. That's a real hope. That's something solid. I think I'd get discouraged with atheist services. And I'd want to drop out real soon. Let's turn to Job chapter 27. Job chapter 27 and verse 8. What is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained when God taketh away his soul. Hypocrites puzzle me. If I'm saved, I want to be saved. Yes. If I'm not going to live for the Lord, I don't want to play around and act like I'm saved. I just don't see the benefit of it. But yet, apparently hypocrites have hope. And I think I know what it is. They want to enjoy sin and yet have the favor of people. For people to think well of them. What hope is that? Sometimes hypocrites' lives become exposed right in this life. And even if they would be able to cover it all, in spite of the discernment of the saints, to be able to sense there's something here that isn't right. Really, what hope is it when this short life is over? When God takes away the soul of the hypocrite. A hypocrite cannot really enjoy life. The sin, the hypocrite might get caught. So can you really enjoy something if you're always looking over your shoulder to see, did anybody notice? Am I caught yet? Can you enjoy salvation if you don't have the real experience? It just doesn't work, doesn't it? It's a miserable existence. What hope does a hypocrite have? I just puzzle over it. It amazes me. Living a double life. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. Luke 12 and 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together in an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. What hope does a hypocrite have? Nobody will catch me. I'm going to get away with it. But really, there's no hope. Jesus said, there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon housetops. What is the hope of a sinner? This song really grips me. The earth shall melt with fervent heat, the heavens pass away, and all mankind their doom shall meet in that last great day. The trump will sound, the Lord return, and time no longer be. The world in judgment flames consume in that last great day. Can you picture that day today? Let's just take a moment and picture. This day is real. This day is coming. Yes. This day is coming at a time that none of us expect. Can you picture this day? The earth melting with fervent heat. All that real estate. All that valuable real estate. All those bank accounts. Those vaults that are storing bars of gold and silver. Jewels. All those valuable paintings on the wall will melt with fervent heat. This is real, and it is coming. The trump will sound, the Lord return, and time no longer be. Where is the hope of the sinner? The world in judgment flames consume in that last great day. Notice this last verse here. So all who make this world their God can here no longer stay. Their fondest hopes will all have fled in that last great day. Their hopes for wealth, their hopes for fame, for pleasure, their hopes for revenge, whatever their hopes may have been, will have all fled away in that last great day. But we have hope as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Oh, how it will pay on that day to have had our hope in the Lord. Ivan Lester McGuire of Durham, North Carolina, was a veteran of more than 800 jumps and wanted to be the best skydiving photographer in the country. Ivan fell 10,500 feet to his death, apparently forgetting to wear a parachute in his excitement to film other skydivers. Police reached this conclusion after seeing footage taken by the man during his final free fall. Ivan was 35. Ivan had a hope that he was going to deploy the parachute, but when he reached for the ripcord, he couldn't find it. You know, people are approaching eternity the same way. They're going through life in the fast lane. They're going through life seeking all the pleasures of sin they can engorge themselves on. They're going through life hoping that before I get to the end of the way, I'm going to be able to reach back there and pull that ripcord and I'll be all right. And they're going through life without a hope that is both sure and steadfast. That hope that's an anchor to the soul. God help us that we'll be prepared. Yes. How shocking it must have been to that poor man. And they thought in the audio of the video that he took, that he said, oh no. What are people going to say when they get to the end of life's way and they realize, I have no hope? What is the hope of a saint? Let's turn to John chapter 14. I want a hope that's steadfast and sure, don't you? I don't want to put my hope in this world. I don't want to put a hope in my own intelligence, looks, whatever it may be, that I might think that I have. My own ability to solve problems, to guide my own footstep in life. I don't want to put my hope in those things. Those things will fail me miserably. But I want a hope that is the anchor of my soul. So what is the hope of a saint? John 14 and 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus told this to his disciples right before he was going to leave them. He left them with hope. He left them with something to look forward to. He knew they were going to face dark days. He knew they would see him suffering on the cross. He knew that they would flee in fear. And he gave them hope in my Father's house. Let's look on beyond this life and its troubles. And I want you to look to my Father's house. And I want you to place your hope there. I don't want you to put your hope in lands and houses and pleasure and this world and people speaking well of you. I don't want you to put your hope in those things, disciples. I want you to put your hope in my Father's house. Yes. There are many mansions there. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to leave you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, here's your hope. I will come again. Do you have that hope today? Do you get discouraged reading the news? Hearing of disappointments, people having failures or whatever it may be, financial troubles, health problems, whatever it may be, do you get discouraged? Have hope. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, what a hope. What a beautiful hope that saints have. I don't want to let go of it. I don't want to do things that will tarnish that hope, that will destroy the hope that I have of eternal life. John 16 and verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, and may I say, have hope. I have overcome the world. I'm sorry that churches today, so-called churches, are spreading a message of no hope. That you're going to sin, you're going to fail every day, you can't help it. Jesus gave a message of hope and it was, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. If the Lord is in us, we can overcome as well. Have you considered what it would be like for all hope to be gone? I thought about the sin that Joseph's brothers committed against Joseph and against Joseph's father. When they gave him that torn coat of many colors with animal blood smeared on it and said, is this your son's coat? You know what they were doing to their own father? They were destroying his hope of seeing his son alive again. That was cruel. Can you picture what it would be like to have lost all hope in life? The despair. Here's a news story, I think, yesterday. Robert Kovac was last seen on a Friday evening in September of 1998, withdrawing money from an ATM in Blacksburg, Virginia. He was near the campus of Virginia Tech, where he attended a graduate school. He was heading home to his parents' residence in Reivesville, West Virginia, according to his roommates, but he never made it there. His family always held on to hope, even after the grim announcement released by the West Virginia State Police nearly 2 decades after he went missing. As a crew was preparing for repairs on a bridge where Robert's car was found so many years ago, the workers discovered human skeletal remains. The police said they found a wallet with identification and keys that belonged to Robert. Well, they're processing the remains for DNA evidence to confirm that it really is Robert. And the investigation is ongoing, but here's what Robert's mother told the news. Only time will tell. It is a great possibility that it is Robert. But I will not say definitely. You see, she had some hope that her son would be found alive. After 18 years, it's hard. But there is still that glimmer of hope that he could possibly be out there somewhere. How would you feel if it was your child? Do you see the hope of a mother? My son, maybe somewhere he's out there. Now, I want you to contrast this glimmer of hope with a picture of someone for whom all hope is gone. I want to tell you, having a hope that is both sure and steadfast, that is the anchor of the soul, is so valuable. There is coming a day that people are going to lose all hope.
Yes, that's right.
How sad. Today, if you're saved, I want to encourage you, hold on to your hope. Don't let anything get that hope away from you. In Revelation, it tells us something about hold fast that which thou hast. Let no man take thy crown. Acts 23 and 6. Acts 23 and 6. When Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question." Paul was preaching a message of hope. If you die in Christ, you can rise again someday. And he got in trouble for that. Aren't you glad that there is hope for Christians? That we can rise again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15 and 12. If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. And if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. See, some people were attacking the hope of Christians that they could rise again. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. If in this life is all that we have, if we don't have a hope in being resurrected, that would make us miserable, wouldn't it? But I'm thankful we do have a hope that is both sure and steadfast. If you are not saved today, I want to encourage you to get a hold of something that will give you hope. The rich man in hell still had a little hope, didn't he? He was hoping that Abraham could send Lazarus with one drop of water. That's hope. But that hope was extinguished. It was impossible. He was hoping for just a little mercy. He was hoping that someone would go back and send warning to his brethren. But all hope was extinguished. What would it be like to go through life, to take your own way, and then all hope be gone forever? It would have been like the moment that the skydiver reached for the ripcord and discovered my hope is gone. It would be like the time that a mother receives word that, yes, that's your son. If you're not saved today, you really don't have hope. Maybe you do because you're deceived, but there you won't have hope. I want to put it that way. There is hope you can be saved. But if you keep postponing, your hope will all be gone. I want to encourage you, if you're not saved, to get a hold of something. That you can have hope. I'm thankful for the hope, for that anchor. I want to hold on to it. I don't want to trade it in for the shallow things of this world and lose hope in that last great day. May God bless.